A cart trundled through the freezing, foggy streets, the driver hunched in his seat. He seemed to be all big, thick brown overcoat. A figure darted out of the swirls and was suddenly on the box next to him.
"Hi," it said. "My name's Teyatime. What's yours?" "Here, you get down. I ain't allowed to give lift."
The driver stopped. It was amazing how Tea Time had been able to thrust a knife through four layers of thick clothing and stop it just at the point where it pricked the flesh. "Sorry," said Tea Time, smiling brightly.
There ain't nothing valuable, you know. Nothing valuable. Only a few bags of..."
"Oh, dear," said Tea Time, his face a sudden acre of concern. "Well, we'll just have to see, won't we? What is your name, sir?"
Ernie, said Ernie. "Yes, Ernie.
Tea Time turned his head slightly. "Come along, gentlemen. This is my friend Ernie. He's going to be our driver for tonight." Ernie saw half a dozen figures emerge from the fog and climb into the cart behind him. He didn't turn to look at them. By the pricking of his kidneys, he knew this would not be an exemplary career move. But it seemed that one of the figures, a huge, shambling mound of a creature, was carrying a long bundle over its shoulders. The bundle moved and made muffled noises. "Do stop shaking, Ernie. We just need a lift," said Tea Time as the cart rumbled over the cobbles.
"Where to, mister?"
"Oh, we don't mind. But first I'd like you to stop in Sator Square, near the second fountain." The knife was withdrawn. Ernie stopped trying to breathe through his ears.
What
is it? You do seem tense, Ernie. I always find a neck massage helps."
"I ain't rightly allowed to carry passengers, see. Charlie'll give me a right chilling off."
"Oh, don't you worry about that," said Tea Time, slapping him on the back. "We're all friends here."
"What are we bringing the girl for?"
said a voice behind them.
"It's not right hitting girls," said a deep voice. "Our mam said no hitting girls. Only bad boys do that, our mam said."
"You be quiet, Banjo. Our mam said..."
"Shh! Ernie here doesn't want to listen to our troubles," said Tea Time, not taking his gaze off the driver.
"Me? Deaf as a post, me,"
burbled Ernie, who in some ways was a very quick learner.
"Can't hardly see more than a few feet, neither. Got no recollection for them faces that I do see, come to that. Bad memory. Talk about bad memory. Gaw, sometimes I can be like, as it were, on the cart, talking to people. Just like I'm talking to you now. And then when they're gone, try as I might, do you think I can remember anything about them, or how many there were, or what they were carrying, or anything about any girl, or anything?"
By this time, his voice was a high-pitched wheeze.
"Sometimes I forget my own name."
"It's Ernie, isn't it?" said Tea Time, giving him a happy smile.
"Ah, and here we are. Oh, dear, there seems to be some excitement."
There was the sound of fighting somewhere ahead. Then a couple of masked trolls ran past with three watchmen after them. They all ignored the cart.
"I heard the Breach gang were going to have a go at Packley's strongroom tonight," said a voice behind Ernie. "Looks like Mr. Brown won't be joining us then," said another voice.
There was a snigger.
"Oh, I don't know about that, Mr. Lilywhite. I don't know about that at all," said a third voice,
and this one was from the direction of the fountain.
"Could you take my bag while I climb up, please? Do be careful. It's a little heavy."
It was a neat little voice. The owner of a voice like that kept his money in a shovel purse and always counted his change carefully. Ernie thought all this and then tried very hard to forget that he had.
"On you go, Ernie," said Tea Time. "Round behind the university, I think."
As the cart rolled on, the neat little voice said,
"You grab all the money and then you get out very smartly, am I right?"
There was a murmur of agreement.
"Learned that on my mother's knee, yeah."
"You learned a lot of stuff across your ma's knee, Mr. Lilywhite."
"Don't you see nothing about our mam?"
The voice was like an earthquake.
"This is Mr. Brown, Banjo. You smarten up."
"He didn't ought to talk about our mam."
"All right, all right. Hello, Banjo. I think I may have a suite somewhere. Yes, there you are. Yes, your ma knew the way, all right. You go in quietly, you take your time, you get what you came for, and you leave smartly and in good order. You don't hang around at the scene to count it all out and tell one another what brave lads you are. Am I right?"
"You seem to have done all right, Mr. Brown."
The cart rattled towards the other side of the square.
"Just a little for expenses, Mr. Cat's Eye. A little hog's watch present, you might say.
Never take the lot and run. Take a little and walk. Dress neat, that's my motto. Dress neat and walk away slowly. Never run. Never run. The watch will always chase a running man. They'll